coming weekend. So please come and help. You'll see all that again in your Go and Serve that will tell you about this. Now, I received an email this week that I want to read to you. Good morning. I've eliminated some parts of it, but this is what it says. Good morning, Pastor Gary. Then it has some pleasantries, et cetera, et cetera. It says, I have experienced a situation at Sunday worship on several different Sundays. I have been seated first and then asked to move. As unknown to me, I am sitting in someone's designated pew. It has gone so far as I have been told there is a plaque located on the pew with their name on it. Perhaps this was a joke and I misinterpreted the meaning. Not knowing where I am supposed to sit makes me feel unwelcome and hesitant to attend worship service. This is not a joking matter, folks. This is serious. We have developed a relationship over the years of being a very warm and welcoming church to folks who come from outside, and we are. That warmth and welcome needs to extend to each other, too. There are no reserved seats. If someone's sitting there, then you find somewhere else, please. There's several up here. That's good, Tom. That's right. That's a serious issue, folks. You know, I think we need to think about that and be warm and welcome to each other as well. And said, Martha, move. Martha, you said, Martha, you go downstairs because Pastor Gary needs your seat. Is that? So I've been telling people all week I was going to fuss today, and you see why. That's a pretty serious issue that we need to respond to. So please be aware of that and be thoughtful and welcoming of all folks. Sarah is not here. Oh, Sarah's in Honduras, so it was a little bit far for her to come for the announcements this morning. She should be back later this week. She's there on a trip from the seminary. But in her place, we get to hear from the music dude today.
Yeah.
You know, Jim, when Sarah makes announcements, I try to come back with something, but I just have to say, I'm speechless after all that. <It's> just... Let's prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who stretches out the heavens, who sends light to the nations, who gives breath to us all. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Loving God, we confess that we have turned from your way to follow our own ways. Forgive us for the times we have spoken or acted too quickly. We have not spoken or acted at all. We have hurt those closest to us. We have hurt those we have yet to know. We have thought more about ourselves than others. We have thought less of ourselves than we ought. Turn around and give us a fresh start so that we can live again as your children. Amen. Even when we have done wrong, God makes us right. Even when we have messed up, God puts us together. God's love never runs out. God never tires of calling us beloved children. In God's love and grace, your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship and glorify you, serving you faithfully, follow you, and joyfully find you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Seated, and would the children please come forward? Good morning. Very important part of that. You have to decide who's going to be the seeker, don't you? And they have to, you know, cover their eyes for a little bit while you all go hide, right? Right? All right. How do you decide who that person's going to be? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. That's what we did when I was a kid. We said, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by his toe. Is that what y'all do? If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's see. How many of y'all ever did eeny, meeny, miny, moe? Raise your hand. Look, a whole bunch of them. They all know eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Yeah. All right. Now, we had another thing we would do, too. Sometimes everybody put their hands out like this. Ever done that? And you go, one potato, see, they knew that already, right? One potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potato, six, and it went on like that. And then
it goes all the way to 10.
I don't remember. I think it goes to 8, yeah. And then the part I was trying to think about last night, I was thinking about this. I was trying to remember. Then we, either with eeny, meeny, miny, mo, or with the one potato, two potato, we had this part on the end that went, my mother told me
first. One and you
that's what I remember. Good. Yes. 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 And so if it was going to come up on a person you wanted to be it, you would say you are it. But if it was a person that you didn't want to be it, you would say you are not it. And it would go to the next person. See?
And then the next person that was there would have been it.
Yeah, right, right. So we have all kinds of different ways of choosing people, right? I remember when I was in school, sometimes we would go to gym class or something. I don't know if y'all have that anymore. But okay, we would go, and they would pick teams. You ever done that? Yeah, and somebody would have to pick teams. I always hated that, because you know why?
Why? You might have to go against your friends.
No, I was never good at that kind of stuff. So I was always right at the end. Who's got to have me? That was how I felt. That was terrible, wasn't it? But in our gospel lesson today, we have some really cool things about choosing, because Jesus chooses people for his team. Now, would you want to be on Jesus' team?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's great. Did Jesus go eeny, meeny, miny, mo? No. Jesus knew something was in his heart. That's right. And so he said, you are the person. And today you'll hear the very end of the gospel lesson, he talks about Peter. He says, you were supposed to be here from the very beginning. And in fact, your parents gave you the wrong name. He says, they called you Simon, but I'm going to name you Peter. I'm going to name you Cephas.
Peter Pan.
Like Peter Pan, yeah, in a way, yeah. But what I want you to remember is that Jesus chooses each one of us to be on his team. That's pretty cool, huh?
Then who's the other team then?
Well, who is the other team? What if we're all on the same team?
I know exactly. If we're all on the same team, who's on the other team?
Well, yeah,
what
right.
God?
Well, no, God's on our team. We're on God's team, yeah. And I never thought about who'd be on the other side. The grown-ups are on the other side. Ooh. Hey, all those people who ask other people to move from their seat, they're on the other. No, I'm just bad pastor. But yeah, we're all on God's team. God has chosen us to serve him and to do what he wants us to do. And that's what I hope you'll remember today. Uh-huh. All right, let's have a prayer.
Isn't that demanding?
Yeah, but that's his job. He tells us what to do. It's not demanding. It tells us what to do. And we want to do it because we want to please God. Okay? All right, let's have our prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for choosing us. Help us always to serve you. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
The first lesson is a reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength, he says, It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The second lesson is a reading from 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those in every place, call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
There was a monastery in Germany that trained Christian brothers for various responsibilities within the Roman Catholic Church. One new Christian brother in training lived in mortal fear of being called upon to preach the sermon in the daily chapel exercises. As this young man thought about his apprehension, he decided to head it off by going to the abbot of the monastery and discussing the problem with him. In the course of the conversation, he said, "Sir, I am willing to do any menial job that you would assign to me. I would be delighted to go out into the fields and plow, fertilize, and irrigate them by hand to increase their productivity. If you would care for me to do so, I would be happy to get down on my hands and knees and scrub the floors here in the monastery. It would be a privilege to polish the silver." Any menial job that you call on me to do, I shall be happy to do. However, please don't ask me to preach a sermon in the chapel. Well, the abbot, of course, looking at this young man, realized that an assignment to preach was exactly what he needed. And he replied, "Tomorrow you are to conduct the chapel and preach the sermon." The next day, this young brother stood behind the pulpit and looked out into the eyes of his peers who had assembled in the sanctuary, and he was greatly apprehensive. In fact, he was so nervous that he hardly knew what to do. It was the last place he wanted to be. So in a trembling voice, he started his sermon by asking, "Brothers, do you know what I'm going to say?" And they all shook their heads no. And the monk continued, "Well, neither do I. Let us stand for the benediction." Well, naturally, the abbot was infuriated by this. He said to the young man, "I'm going to give you a second chance. Tomorrow you are to conduct the sermon service in the chapel, and this time I want you to preach a message." Well, the next day the scene was the same. His nervousness had not abated at all. As the young man began as he had the day before, "Brothers, do you know what I'm going to say?" With smiles, they all nodded their heads yes. And so the monk said, "Well, since you already know, there's no need for me to say it. Let us stand for the benediction." Well, the abbot was livid with anger. Once again, he went to the young brother and literally roared at him. "I am tired of this," he said. "Tomorrow I'm going to give you a third chance. If you don't come through, I'm going to put you in solitary confinement on bread and water." The third day, the scene was the same. His stomach was once again full of butterflies, and once again, he began as he had on the previous 2 days. "Brothers, do you know what I'm going to say?" But this time, some nodded their heads yes, and others shook their heads no. When the monk saw this, he said, "Let those who know tell those who don't. Let us stand for the benediction." Now, don't get your hopes up. I'm not quite ready to call for the benediction yet. You see, there's an important point in that story that we can't let go of. Let those who know tell those who don't. It sounds like such a simple statement, and yet in its very simplicity, it cuts right to the heart of what witnessing is all about. Let those who know tell those who don't. Let those who know about Jesus tell those who don't. Let those who know about his love, his mercy, and his sacrifice tell those who don't. Let those who know of his strength, his guidance, his comfort, and his presence with us tell those who don't. Let those who know of his life, his death, and his resurrection, and the promise of salvation given to all faithful believers tell those who don't. That's what witnessing is all about. Those of us who know have got to share God's story of salvation and our story of life with God with those who don't. In truth, that's what this season of Epiphany represents. Epiphany means to make manifest or to reveal. And our scripture lessons for today and for the next several weeks seek to do just that. They seek to reveal Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Those who know point him out to those who don't. Today, it is John the Baptist standing in sodden clothes and pointing his dripping finger and saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And today, it is Andrew following Jesus, finding Peter and saying simply and faithfully, "We have found the Messiah." Let those who know tell those who don't. Today, it is us making Jesus manifest in our lives. And that means in our words. And that means in our deeds. It's time for us to be excited about Jesus. It's time for us to say with John, "Behold the Lamb of God." It's time for us to say with Andrew, "We have found the Messiah." It's time. Let those who know tell those who don't. It's time for us to tell the story. Amen. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Lamb of God, we know that you are indeed the one who takes away the sin of the world. Fill our hearts now with the desire to seek you. Fill our hearts now with the willingness to follow you. Lord, in your mercy, great light in our darkness, shine in us and through us. Through your Holy Spirit, ignite our faith and lead us in lives that radiate your love for others. Lord, in your mercy, God of compassion, you share our lives in all things. Increase our joy. Reach into our illnesses, fears, and worries with your compassion and love. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, who reaches to us, fill us with enthusiasm and zeal in our faith, that we may invite others to come and meet you and to share the joy that comes in your love. Lord, in your mercy, great God, send us into the world. Give us courage to be your ambassadors. So live in us that as we live, others may see you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace.
Let us pray. Merciful God, receive the gifts we bring, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Through this meal, unite us as your body, shining with the light of your justice and mercy. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, praise to you for the birth of creation. Praise to you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Praise to you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Praise to you for Mary's openness to your will. Praise to you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. O morning star, fair and bright, you have refreshed us again with heavenly food. You are our dearest treasure. Go with us now, today, tomorrow, every day, that we may tell the story of your never-ending love and sing your praise both now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.